For this morning's reading, let's turn to Revelation chapter number 21 and read the first seven verses. Revelation chapter 21, the first seven verses.
Братя наше да се чита с Божја помош из Откривење Јовановог 21 глава. Тоа е предпоследна глава у Библија. 21 глава Откривење Јовановог.
Првих седам стихов. Апокалипса до дешуно земји шапи
вјесу. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. May it not be lost on any of us what a great privilege it is that we as God's children can come here together and assemble peacefully and have the Word of God before us and have it spoken on and allowing us to have that ability to pray together and the preciousness of all of this that the Lord has given unto us. It fills our souls and it richly fills us with all his goodness as we assemble here together and as we have this blessed time of fellowship together. May we count it precious in our lives. I appreciated some of the thoughts that were shared in the prayer of just the love that God has shown unto us and his great care that he has exemplified to us in so many ways, through the small things and all the way through that of giving of his only begotten Son and allowing him in love to be there crucified upon a cross and shedding his blood that we might have life and that more abundantly in Jesus Christ. We read here of a time where has yet to come and this revelation that was given unto John the Apostle as he was banished there on the Isle of Patmos. He says he's our fellow companion in tribulation, and there were things that he saw. There were things that were revealed to him. There were things that he heard. And if we just go back some of the chapters, they all seem to start with, and I saw, and I heard these things. Going back to 18 and perhaps even other places, it says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. And then in 19, it says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. And then in 20, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. And then he says, I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. All these things were revealed to him. He saw these things while he was there on the Isle of Patmos. They were revealed to him. And some of these things were given to him to write. And he wrote them that we might understand them and know them. These things are given unto us that we would understand. Some things are not, but these are. And then he says here in the reading that we had this morning, here it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. These are the things he saw. A new heaven and a new earth. What a glorious thought. that there will be these things. And I, John, saw the holy city, more revelation, more things that he was able to see there. He sees now a new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem is coming down from heaven, and it's as a bride adorned for her husband in beauty and in splendor without any blemish. This new Jerusalem was being presented to the people who would dwell there. And so as we consider all these things that the Apostle John had saw and those things that were revealed to him, it gives us great joy. He was a companion in tribulation. There was tribulation. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God, for proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord. And so there was some suffering, and there was some sorrow, and there was some grief that he was going through. And it's no different for us. Maybe not to that level that John experienced, but all of us go through grief and turmoil and struggle because we live in a fallen, and we live in a cursed earth. This is our lot. This is where we're dwelling, on a cursed earth. And so there are going to be difficulties and trials. But through it all, we can have joy in the Lord. So John sees these things, a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem that's pure, that's beautiful, and coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. Wonderful imagery, wonderful things that we can visualize and know that these things will be true. And then, not only what he saw, but also the things that he heard. He records them, and he says, I heard a great voice out of heaven. This great voice. I'm sure it was very powerful. I'm sure it was very articulate. There was no stammering. There was no not getting the words quite right, as often I find myself doing. But the words were perfect. And he says, behold, take a look at this. Observe this. Take a moment and understand what's happening here. He says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. The turmoil that we might have to go through becomes small, becomes lighter, becomes more fleeting when we consider words such as this. There's this great voice coming out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God says, I'm going to be with you, and I will be your God. And further it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. All these things that we experience in this life, this short life, when compared to eternity, all these things that we experience, death, sorrow, crying, pain, they're all going to be gone. These are the former things. These are the things that will be done away with. And so when we consider these things, again, we can have great, great joy, even in the midst of great turmoil in our lives, even in the midst of great grief and sorrow and tragedy, because we're a fallen people living on a cursed earth. Even amidst all of that, we can have great joy in the Lord. Because we know that we are going to a place where there's a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem that's beautiful and pure, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. Oh, the pain that we sometimes feel, physically, emotionally. That pain is real, it's felt, but there will be no more. It's gone. All these former things shall be done away with. And again, that gives us just simply great joy. And then after this voice comes from heaven and tells John these things, then it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, God says, pay attention to this. Consider this. Observe this. Spend some time meditating upon it. We have our devices, and there's so many things always going on, and it's just flip, 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 flip right through all the screens. And there's no observing it. There's no beholding anything. And our minds can't keep up with all the things that are on all these screens as we flip through them. But here, the voice that's on the throne of God, that's sitting on the throne, God himself, says, behold, pay attention, observe this, meditate upon this. And he says, I make all things new. All things new. Everything that we experience in this life, it's all going to be gone. We hear of cancer in so many people. We hear of issues here and there. We hear of the sorrow and the grief, lies in the government, mirages everywhere. That's all going to be gone. That's all going to be gone. God himself says, behold, I make all things new. And God says, further to John, says, write, for these words are true and faithful. This is true. God said, behold, I make all things new. Then all things are going to be new. So they are true and they are faithful. And we can believe these things. And then we can have great joy in our lives. Because despite what's going on round about us, we know that all these things are going to be done away with. Everything that we experience is all going to be gone. All those things that people treasure so much and hold to such high value, it's all going to be burned. It's all going to be gone. But for us who are eternally minded and a part of that kingdom of God, we rejoice. We rejoice. And he said unto me, it is done. There will be a time when everything will be finished. It will be done because God himself has spoken it. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Just as we read last Sunday, Isaiah 55. Come, ye that are thirsty, come experience that which only the Lord can give, that will quench your thirst, that will fill you with that which satisfies. And here God is saying, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the words of the Lord. These are the words of God. These are the words of the Almighty, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He's Alpha and he's Omega. His kingdom has no beginning and no end. He says, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If we overcome, if we don't allow Satan to trip us up with all the grief that he would bring our way, that we would be faithful and continue to trust in him and believe in him through all that we would experience, all the turmoil, all the tribulation in life that we would experience, if we continue and persist through that by his grace, not by ourselves, but by his grace, then God will be our God. And we will be his son and his daughter. God has spoken this. It is true. And it is faithful. So we look through the scriptures. And we see this truth being brought up over and over. We see Jesus. How the Bible says here in Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. We're looking to Jesus. He had a joy in his heart that took him through the cross, that took him through that tribulation that he went through in giving himself and feeling that separation from his Father. We look to him, and it says he had joy in his heart, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And we look to Jesus, and we likewise, through that which we would suffer through, we joy through it. We have joy through that. The joy just carries us right on through. Jesus had joy knowing that sin would be defeated, death would be banished. and all those who put their faith in him would have life. And so there was joy in Jesus Christ as he went to the cross. It was his hour of glory, he says. And then we look in Hebrews 11 and see all those who had a faith and their joy carried them through as well. They were looking upon that which is eternal. They were focused upon that which went beyond the turmoil that they were experiencing in their lives. It says here, they looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. And when we know that we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, that gives us great joy. And we know that he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." That gives us great joy. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That little valley that we are going through, that just are troublesome, the pain, the sorrow, the death that we experience in this fallen earth, that's a little valley compared to the great joy that shall be revealed in us as we live for him. Having spiritual joy is a glorious and triumphant state of mind. And this is what the Lord is calling us to. Jesus Christ has done it. The men of old who had great faith had experienced that as well. And we can look to that example of that joy that they carried with them throughout all their troubles and throughout all their sorrows that they experienced in life. And likewise, we show what's in our hearts by how we choose to spend the time that we would, how we choose to spend our resources, what we do with our time. All these things show what's important to us. If we spend ample time reading God's word, if we spend time in prayer with the Lord, if we spend time lauding his name and glorifying him, if we say to the Lord, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer," then we invite joy into our hearts. We invite joy to be a part of our lives when we are focused upon that which is eternal, when we are focused upon that which the Lord Jesus Christ had said. When the Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new," there's a joy inside of us that carries us through. And we rejoice in these promises, in that which the Lord had said. And we rejoice when we think upon that which is eternal. We spend the time on earth, whatever it is, the decades, whatever that might be. And then comes eternity. Eternity. Forever and forever and forever. And when we're in the presence of the Lord, there is great, great joy. And so the Lord wants us to bear fruit. The Lord is asking us that we would bear fruit. And we can bear fruit only through being attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. We share God's glory when we have joy in our hearts, even through the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of pain. We draw others to the Lord when we exemplify joy in our lives, even when there's difficulty and sorrow. We are being a light to this world. If we sorrow and just have this, carry this gloom about us because something has happened to us, we're not showing the love of Christ. We're not showing the light of the Lord. He wants us to have this joy in our hearts, even in the midst of sorrow. Again, because we're looking to what Jesus Christ has said. We're looking to that which is eternal. And what happens to us in this life is so meaning, it has so little meaning when compared against eternity. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And as we pray together that God's kingdom would be alive in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to fester and be all our focus on that which would be meat and drink. That all goes away. That just has some relevance to this life. But he wants us to focus on righteousness and peace and joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what we are to focus on. And the source of our joy can be the Lord and him alone. We have some favorable things that happen to us in this life and maybe some not so favorable things. But when the favorable things come to us, our joy shouldn't be simply in that. Our joy should always be in the Lord. Because when we do experience sorrow, then we should still have joy in the Lord. And so the Lord is the source of our joy. Last Sunday morning, again, there was a reference to Psalm 16, where it says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." It is the Lord who gives us this joy that we can have in the midst of tribulation, as John experienced while he was there on the Isle of Patmos. The Lord is the source of our joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. We come into his presence as we read his word. We come into his presence as we pray unto him. We come into his presence as we laud his name and glorify him. We come into his presence when we're encouraging each other and strengthening one another and speaking of the love that he has for us. Nehemiah also says that the joy of the Lord is thy strength. It's the joy of the Lord, what he gives unto us. When he says, "Behold, I make all things new," that gives us great joy. And that's our strength. That's what carries us through the tribulations and the sorrows and the difficulties. What Jesus Christ had said, what the Lord had said, that gives us joy and that carries us through. And in his presence is that fullness of joy. And and that joy that he gives unto us is our strength. That's our strength. In Ecclesiastes, we read that God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. That's the source of our joy, that God gives it unto us when we yield ourselves to him, when we experience his love and we share that love with others, when we experience his forgiveness and we share that forgiveness with others, when we experience his blessings and we just want to be a blessing to others as well. When we do that, God sees us as good, and then he gives unto us joy. He gives unto us his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding. So the joy that we have, it's the source of it is the Lord. And Jesus also said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, the joy of Jesus Christ, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We can have joy in the Lord because he gives it to us. And he says he wants that joy to remain in you, not to flee away when there's something that comes into our lives. That's difficult. That joy shouldn't come in and out of our lives. But he says that joy that I'm giving you should be full, and it should remain with you. And no man can take away that joy that I give unto you. There is much pessimism in this world economically right now. There's an expectation of a recession and perhaps even worse. Perhaps it might be that some of us may lose our jobs. Maybe, maybe not. God knows. We don't. But Habakkuk recognized this, and yet he still had joy in the Lord. Habakkuk says, and these are all streams of income. He says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Though all these abilities to make a living go away, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad in the God of my salvation." Because that will carry us through that difficult time And yet then, there will come a time when the Lord has said, behold, I make all things new. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And there will be splendor there. And there will be no death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. And so, even though the value of the dollar may collapse, even though the value of gold just simply goes away, yet we can have joy in the Lord. Yet we can have joy in the Lord. And I will readily confess that it's much easier to stand here and say, just have joy in the Lord when all these things go bad and not actually go through it. But yet, even as we go through it, God will provide. God will provide. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always. In every circumstances. When things go good and there's a lot of joy and a lot of high expectations and things are going well, have joy. But also have joy when things are very difficult and very challenging. And we're experiencing that pain, physical pain, emotional pain. And then the Bible also says, rejoice evermore in all times. Rejoice in Him. Jesus says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and that your joy might be full. Ask. Ask of the Lord that His joy might be in us. Ask of the Lord that we might recall the things that He said. Ask of the Lord that we might remember when the Lord said, behold, observe this, know this. These things are revealed to us. Ask the Lord that we might have that joy when we consider the things that are eternal. And all these things, they will be gone. All these former things, they will be gone. For us to experience no pain, no sorrow, no death, no crying, and that God would wipe away our tears of Himself. These are the things that Jesus is asking, telling us to ask of Him. Ask that your joy might be full. Ask. We are to have joy in Him. There's a day that Jerusalem is going to come down, and it's going to be full of splendor, full of glory. And we will behold it, and we will say, yeah, John the Apostle told us of these things. And now here we are, we're experiencing it. And here comes eternity. And now we're going to be in the presence of the Father throughout all eternity. He is Alpha, He is Omega. And there's not going to be any more need of the Son because He's the light. And we're going to experience bliss and joy throughout all eternity. That carries us through. That gives us a great joy that no man can take away from us. They might be able to destroy this body, but they can't take away our joy. The Lord will provide for us. Let's be faithful. Let's be true. Until we hear those blessed and immortal words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.